The struggles of those within the Aotearoa direct caring industries have been well documented with their fight for pay equity. But however, the fight for wider public caring services, the nurses, teachers and even hospitality continues. The nurses go to vote next week on a fourth DHB equity offer, and strikes in other industries have and continue to persist throughout this year. This, for me at least, and I think for other people, has raised serious questions about the nature of the New Zealand population. Do we care for those who care? Do we even care in general? What's caused this situation? Is it the neoliberal race to the bottom mentality? Or does it go back to institutionalized gender roles devaluing the work that is done? I mean, I would suggest that it's a larger culmination of these causes and other social contributors. However, another significant positive breakthrough has come this week. Health Minister David Clark, along with representatives from unions and the Ministry of Health, yesterday signed a $173.5 million pay equity settlement for mental health and addiction services. Around 5,000 mental health and addiction support workers will be back paid to July 2017. The settlement will also see roughly more than half of the workers in the sector get an increase of more than $3 an hour, and reportedly one in five will get more than $5 an hour as an increase. I briefly talked to Assistant National Secretary of Etu Union, John Ryle, about the extents of the settlement and caring in Aotearoa. Do you think that the care industry is generally devalued in New Zealand?
Well, the whole case of our pay equity case, we took it through the court for Christine Bartlett, who was a caregiver, was the fact that she was getting pretty close to the minimum wage because her job had been historically undervalued because the majority of workers who work in that sector are women. And that extends to the mental health and addiction sector. Most of the workers who work there are women. They do a very important job in the community, and their work historically has been undervalued and they've got paid very poorly for it. And so the settlement rectifies this historical injustice and is a very good step forward.
Would you say that this injustice is primarily caused by prior gender roles?
It certainly is. It's an assumption that the skills around caring and support were natural female attributes, and therefore should not be recognised and paid accordingly. And it sort of goes back to the historical roles of women in the home, supporting children or sick relatives. Because there was no money attached to it and because the job itself was undervalued, that flowed into these jobs that take place in the community. And it's really good to see that New Zealand is starting to come to terms with these injustices. This is hence we have come to terms with injustices around colonisation and Indigenous people, etc.
Do you think these presumptions have made us less considerate and less caring people as a population?
I think it has, but I think the rectification of these issues has actually been good for us, because it's required us to actually discuss who is carrying out these roles and how important the roles are. And when you talk to people in the community, when you look at public opinion polls, you'll see there's a hell of a lot of support for the workers who carry out this work. And that is why Christine Bartlett was nominated and got awarded the New Zealander of the Year, because of the fantastic support for the work she does.
How can we best support these workers and the people that care for our population?
I think we've already done that in terms of the settlement, but I think there'll be further work to be done, just in terms of investing in the skill development and qualifications and workloads that these workers still have. So there's some further work to do. I think it's been a big step along the way of coming to terms with some of these historical injustices.
Do you know if the settlement will extend to cover or actually have any involvement with the rehabilitation and mental services for former prisoners?
It does have some contracts already that mental health providers have got in terms of supporting people coming out of prisons and even of people in prison, because there's quite a number of people in prisons who have got mental health issues or addiction issues, and so there's quite a big push in terms of the work these people are doing and in terms of the funding the government is putting in to get a better deal for prisoners.